Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that is our number. And if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. In fact, in the second hour, I'll be talking about an email that kind of triggered what I want to talk about, and that is pulling money out in retirement. And when you go into down markets, it really becomes clear how difficult that is. And what you're really managing is something called the sequence of returns. You see, it's unknown what the market's going to do year by year, even if you feel confident, say, that the market will average, say, I don't know, 8-10%, its long-term average being 10, really doesn't tell you anything about how much you can take out. So we'll dive into that, the sequence of returns. And we've talked about it before, of course, but anyway, Rod, thank you. It was a great suggestion. I really appreciate it. And in the second hour, I'll be talking about that. But right now, I do want to talk about what's right in our face, right? And that is inflation and how it's absolutely twisting the markets. And we know that, you know, the headlines. And I don't need to sit here and give you another report of exactly what you already know, that the market is in turmoil. But the idea that, of course, inflation is caused by the war is not true. It was already inflating, which is here's the fundamental problem with that. Obviously, politicians are really good at pointing fingers at anyone but themselves. We didn't do this. It's not because of $2 trillion of spending. We didn't do this. Yeah, you did. And we didn't tell you, we told you it was going to be transitory, but it wasn't. And the same people are doing the same things. Which, of course, obviously is the definition of insanity. But that's what the bottom line problem is. If we can't change the trajectory of what we're doing, that's the problem. And, of course, this administration doesn't change its mind about anything. I mean, we were energy independent. And we have a huge energy problem now. And we are not energy independent. And our allies have to buy energy from probably the most evil man on the planet and make sure that it helps to support his war. Because we won't change. So here's the good news. They won't change. But the electorate is. We are. We have. We don't want this. It's not just Joe's unbelievably low ratings. But the world of business is such a beautiful thing. The markets function so well that in places like Texas, they're drilling like crazy, in spite of every possible roadblock this administration throws up. Markets react. And as they say, and this is really true, the best cure for high prices is high prices. It's the same with low prices. The best cure for low prices is low prices. And it really is amazing to see how fast businesses react, markets react. Now, everything was broken. I totally get it, okay? COVID, they reached over, the government, in all their arrogance, reached over and said, lights out, boom, economy's done. Finished. Don't worry, we'll go back and we'll flick the switch again. Because that's what idiot bureaucrats think. They think they can do that. They really do. They really think they can operate, regulate markets. And they can't. But they never learn that lesson. They never do. Completely weird arrogance. So we broke supply chains, broke the economy's back, and we're scrambling to try to get it fixed. But it will fix. It is fixing. Not because the bureaucrats wish it to be so. They can't help it. They can't help it. They can't stop it. They can't stop Texas from drilling for oil. They're trying to. They can't stop businesses around Christmas from going directly to suppliers and getting their own ships coming over. That's markets. They fix. And so does inflation. It's not a permanent problem. Some inflation is embedded. But high prices slow down consumption by themselves. So high prices fix high prices. Not in 1 second. But people have gotten so smart about this. They really have. This is not, these loons just can't get their message out anymore. They can try. Oh, it's Putin's fault. It's not Putin's fault. He certainly is an ongoing problem for energy prices. But energy prices were already going up. We know that. This is not transitory, obviously. And the same people who told us it was transitory are now telling us all kinds of things. Like, you know, we're going to fight inflation. No, they're not. But that's the thing. The markets will. The markets do. Joe has no plan. There is no plan. Pointing your finger and saying there'll be no price gouging going on around here, not on my watch, is not helping get more oil out of the ground. They're doing everything they can to hurt the economy, but markets are bigger than that. So, no, anybody can spin it, and we can all talk about the inflation report this week. It was really bad. No, it was really okay. It was okay, sort of. Should have been better than that. And okay, it's peaking. Nobody knows. And that's all they babble about all day long. All day, literally. You know, tune in to CNBC and boom. Absolutely. What do you think about inflation? What are you worried about now? The same people told you it was transitory. Same people. JP Morgan, transitory inflation. It's not. But we don't know going forward. But what we do know is that interest rates are rising. Good. Federal Reserve screwed up, but the market's fixing it fast. What do you mean? Well, I mean the 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 30-year have all risen to 3% and above. 3% in a heartbeat. So the Fed's catching up by raising their short-term interest rates. But the market reacted immediately. Markets are fast. Markets are efficient. And they'll fix it. The quickest way to fix it, of course, is to get out of its way. But even though Joe and company, and bureaucrats by nature, are power mongers, wrong-headed, control freaks, and ruin everything. Absolutely ruin everything. It's what they do. all in the name of some good cause, of course. I mean, it all has to be cast in a really good, oh, we're going to go fix this. They ruin it. But the markets can and do absorb the blows and change. It's not overnight. I wish it was quicker. But this inflation problem is going to go away because markets will get better. Supply chains will get fixed because it's business. It's what markets do. It fixes it. It fixes everything. It delivers, if you will, baby formula when the bureaucrats can't figure it out. It will, because there's a need to fill. It's what markets do naturally, intelligently, quickly. Supply what's needed. And we need more of everything, right? That's why prices are going up, to meet the demand, which is really the other side of the equation that we want to talk about when we come back. And that is, demand is big. It's strong. We still want stuff. We're still growing. We are. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about that. 580-KIDEO. Hello, welcome. Our number again is 580-5436, 580-KIDEO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. You know, it's interesting as we look at this and we look at, you know, inflation. We all focus on this inflation, and it's bad. I mean, literally. We have a couple trips coming up over the summer and next fall, and way ahead. It's like, if you can get a rental car, it can be $100 a day before you pay tax, which is usually around 50%, right? Airline tickets are up 30 or 40%. I've heard both numbers. That's why I say 30 or 40. I don't know which. 30 to 40% in 12 months. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we all know, you know, it's like the other day I went and bought some fruit, you know, for Mother's Day brunch. And I don't go to the store, but just like a fill-in, you know, because my wife's busy and she needs, you know, a jug of milk or something, right? I just was blown away. What do you mean it's $25 for fruit, right? It's not like I was buying that much. Everything is so expensive, and we all know what it is to go get gas. It's horrible. Horrible. Okay, so they printed too much money. We got that. The markets are fixing that, right? The politicians are losing, right? I mean, not just Virginia, New Jersey. It's happening in local races all over. People don't want this. They don't believe that you can just print money and it's all going to be good. They don't believe that anymore. But the markets also are dealing with the reopening and the fact that we have such demand. And that's a positive thing, that the people want to go spend money. It's good for the economy. It's great for jobs, people. We're working. We quit sending checks, finally, way too late. But sending people checks to sit in their basement and play video games or gamble online. Crazy. But we're quitting it. We're quitting it. Demand is still good, and that's the positive side of this whole equation. So once the supply chain gets fixed, and it will, it'll fix itself. Markets do that. All right, we're going to talk next hour. Hello, good morning. And once again, of course, these are my opinions only. And we're not here to buy or sell. It's not how it works. It really isn't. You know, it's interesting. When we go through times like this, it's not interesting. It's every time common, right? We go through times like this Markets are volatile. Markets are down. And inevitably, people's thoughts are, am I going to have enough? Am I going to run out of money? Maybe we should make a change. And I don't mean all people. I just mean generally your first few times you go through a downturn. It's just human nature. It's normal. But you have to plan for the downturn before it happens. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about this. And thanks again, Rod, for the email. Appreciate the idea. To talk about sequence of returns, which is really the key element to not running out of money in your retirement. And people talk about this all the time. It's like, well, I mean, you know, should we move it out to the sidelines till times get better? No, you can't do that. You can't trade this. You simply can't. And I'm sorry. I know you believe you can. I understand that, again, our nature is to worry about that and say, let's just step aside. When times are better, then I'll put it back in. You got to get it right twice. Like, I just know it's going to keep going down. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Let's suppose you're right. When do you get it back in? What's the trigger? You know, the economy is booming again, so stock prices are at all-time highs again. What? There isn't. You know, we know that, but we have this feeling that overrides that we can time this. Well, especially when you're in retirement, because this is it, right? And so it weighs even higher. And that's what sequence of returns is all about. You say it's going to average, I'm making up a number, 10%, because that's the number that markets average for all of your life. 10. It's going to do 10. So if you took out less than 10, then you shouldn't have a problem, right? No, that literally means nothing, literally. I know it seems like it because you learn in third grade that an average is what over time, but an average only matters if you never take a dime out. So if you will, picture this. Because there's really only, you know, different versions of these three outcomes to an average. They all wind up in the same place if you never took a dime out. But if the market is flat and you're taking money out, and then in later years soars higher so that it does average whatever average you put on it, 10%. You're out of money because you're eating up your principal in the early years. There's not enough left when the market goes higher to keep your balance. The other one, of course, that's even worse is when the market goes down, which is inevitable, certain to occur over and over again all the days of your life. That's what markets do. Really, that's what they do. There's no option strategy. There's no goofy equity indexed annuity that allows you to have market the upside of the market, no risk. That's BS. They're high commission products that are sold by insurance agents because you can't be an RIA. You can't be a fiduciary and lie about it. You can't. So we can talk about these things. And you just simply have to have a plan because the sequence of returns will kill you if you are taking money out when markets are down. There's no other strategy. You can't just pull it out, put it in the bank. You're not going to grow fast enough to keep up with inflation. You'll run out of money safely and slowly. You can't drop it all in bonds. Certainly not at today's interest rates. It's a guarantee the next 10 years you're going to be below the inflation rate. It's not a strategy. That's a panic. It's a poorly thought out emotional response. I'm scared, therefore I'm going to do something I know won't work. Perfect. great, good decision-making. It's not. It's not good decision-making. We want to do this clear-headed and understand we have to have a plan in place to know that when markets go down, I have buckets of money to go get that aren't down. And they can let the rest of it sit and come back like markets have always, 100% of the time, done. So what is the plan? Well, there's various ways of thinking about it, but I always think of it as a reservoir. And within your portfolio, that's what we talk to clients about, right? During times like this, my account's down. How am I going to? I know. We plan for it to be down because we don't know when it will happen. We know that it will. We know that it will. When you have, there's this beautiful mutual fund. It's been around forever. I'm not going to give you the name because I don't want to do all the nonsense like you should have to go buy it. It's wonderful. It hasn't done as well as the S&P 500 over the last 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, on and on. It doesn't because it's more conservative than that. And if you took an equal amount of money out over the past 20 years out of the S&P 500, which has averaged a better return, or this fund, one of them has run out of money. The one that has the highest return percentage. Because when you take money out, when it's down, it destroys your capital. And things that don't go down as much, you're not destroying as much capital. Dividend-paying stocks are doing fine right now. They're not down that much. Tech stocks that don't make any money are getting crushed. Kind of like in the year 2000, huh? That's what diversification is. And diversification is doesn't work when the market goes up 28%. You just want to get 28. But we're seeing that. High dividend paying stocks, called value stocks, are doing fine. So you've got your bucket of that. Real estate's doing really good. And I don't just mean the rental. You can't go out and buy rentals. That's not what I'm talking about. I've thought about REITs, real estate investment trusts. They're doing great. Kicking off 5%. Value's actually gone up since the beginning of the year. No kidding. Doing great. These are different buckets. And you need multiple years so that you're not selling down. You got to have a plan. That plan needs to be in place. And plans are just operated. That's all. You don't have a reason to freak out about markets going down. You know they're going to. Temporary market setbacks are 100% inevitable. Can't be avoided. It's the way it works. So the greatest investment is giving you 10% a year for doing nothing. Nothing. I mean, you're not allowed to go fix the toilet for that S&P 500 company. They don't want you on their property. Doing nothing has the cost of occasional market corrections. And it doesn't do normal. And this is what the optics get people. So the market averages 10 over my life, but it doesn't ever do 10. Yes. Isn't that weird? I think it's weird. I think it's an amazing thought. You mean that the market almost never comes anywhere near 10% on a one-year basis? Yes. In fact, the biggest time batch of years, right, is that the market's up huge, like over 20%. It's a huge number. of years, far more than when the market's down. But that's what makes up for it. And that's when you reserve your income needs. That's when you reserve it. And that's why the sequence of returns is so critical. Because you could take more out if the market went up 20% a year for the first 5 years of your retirement. But you don't know that. And that's why we plan for bad years in good years, so that the capital is set aside. It needs to be. So when it's like, well, what are we going to do for income? Well, we're not selling the whole portfolio. Why don't we take some of the money out for the next year out of the REITs? They've done really good. They're not down at all. So you're not destroying capital. What about those dividend-paying stocks that keep dripping in income? It means you have to sell less anyway because your portfolio is producing income. The greatest story never told is the income story, right? The S&P 500. The dividends have grown at 3 times the rate of inflation for the last 60 years. 3 times the rate of inflation. Nothing on the planet has done that. That's income. I didn't say what the account grew to. The income. The income from companies like WorldCom and Enron that blew up and went to zero. There's so many great companies that just keep growing their income. Companies you know, you've heard of. 3M, 100 years in a row, raising their dividend. That's right, in 2008 when the market was catastrophic, and I'm sure 3M was down. Don't even need to look it up. It was down. Everything was down. They raised their income, their dividend. That helps because we don't have to sell. So we just don't want to have temporary losses because that's what markets are, temporary losses. Turn into permanent ones. And then markets can recover and we can roll. The danger in retirement is sequence of returns, being forced to sell when markets are down. And that's why the plan is there before, when times are good. So if you're thinking about, and here's the beauty of it too, if you're thinking about retirement, you're like looking at it, do I have enough? I think I don't know, maybe. If it only would grow. I'm going to tell you, there's literally more than 1 million people across the country in 1999 retired because they thought they had so much. And they took too much out because it never, ever was going to get bad. And the only strategy everybody knew was just buy the most aggressive stocks in the world. Dividends were stupid. There were books written like that. Dividends are dumb. In other words, they had no plan. No plan for the inevitable, certain to occur market corrections. No plan. And they went back to work a couple years later. It was a devastating time. So if you're thinking about it, retiring, right? You don't want to retire at the top. I mean, it's okay to retire at the top. It's fine. But what you have to do is look at your portfolio and go, it's been a while since we had a correction, so we probably need to go ahead and pretend that my account is already down. That's planning ahead too. And if you have enough now, after a market correction like this, then you have planned. You're ahead of the game. It's much safer by definition right now to be an investor than it was at the beginning of the year. I know it doesn't feel like it because corrections don't feel like that. But it really is by definition. It's cheaper. Prices are lower. Therefore, it's less risky. Even though you don't think so. It's a great time to be an investor. Those dividend yields are higher than they were. You get more income for the same amount of money than we did 6 months ago. That's awesome if you're retiring. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're going to take a quick break. Give us a call. Shoot us an email, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Once again, thanks for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And Rod, thank you for the topic. I love talking about income planning. I think it's so interesting in designing portfolios. So it's different, right? It's different thinking about here's a bucket of money that's going to be out there 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And again, don't get me wrong. I don't like the bucket thing. Buckets are stupid. Okay. I mean, that whole thing is like put 7 years of income in a bucket earning 0.5%. That's just silly. It won't work. It's crazy. But I'm using the analogy, okay? So I like the reservoir. I want 5 years worth of income in a reservoir. Now, it doesn't have to have 5 years in there because it's raining income all the time. Reservoirs, of course, rain and snow melt, right? And the rain is like the dividends coming in, the interest coming in, your coupons, if you will, coming in. And then once in a while, you sell something. That's your snow melt and replenish it. But we sell and make a plan before prices go down. That's how you do it. So you avoid the sequence of return problem. Hey, I want to talk about this too, because I just can't look at this quite enough in a time like this and not be puzzled. All right. I'm just really puzzled. I really am. Why is gold such a bad investment in a time like this? Why is it going down? And it doesn't make any sense. Gold's supposed to be a good hedge against inflation, and this is the first time we've had inflation in years. But we got it. And so that ought to be fueling it, and it doesn't. Hasn't. And so it's confusing. The other part, of course, is war. I mean, when I started in this industry, we knew whenever there was saber rattling, whenever the Soviet Union got all tough about something somewhere in the world, or the Middle East was on fire, because that's never happened before, gold would go up. So we've got all these things happening. And as I pointed out before, gold was at 800 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average by chance was also at 800 40 years ago when I started in the industry. Okay? Today, if I give gold $100 more, calling it 1900 instead of 1800 an ounce, $10,000 invested 40 years ago in gold would be worth $23,000. Okay? Not very good. Doesn't even keep up with inflation. And it produces zero. And this is the key. Back to our reservoir and all those things that we're talking about and all the things that are operating just fine in the markets. The dividend-paying stocks. The greatest story never told. For income. And not all companies pay dividends. So if we just bought the Dow at 800, $10,000 reinvested dividends is more than $1.3 million. $1.3 million. That's how important dividends are. See, the Dow, even at 800 to 30,000 plus, if you took all your dividends out, it would still be worth $393,000, and you would have taken out over $100,000 worth of dividends. Markets work. But we just play games in our head, and people play games with us and our psychology when they're down. $10,000 to $1.3 million is no small feat. This is why it's important. Dividends are important. Income's important. And when people hide money in the safe called gold, because it's the only real currency or whatever it is, because everything's a fiat currency, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've got $1.3 million to go buy gold today. You've got $23,000, if that was your strategy. Fiat currency or not. It's always some kind of weird thing, like it's only real thing. Like, okay, it's only real because you say so. It isn't so. The value of anything is what people will swap it for. That's it. Like in a disaster, the only real value is going to be guns and food. I don't know how to manage around a nuclear war, so I can forget about that. It just doesn't make sense to be hiding and fearful all the time. It doesn't. And I always had this question, right? Well, don't you think you ought to have like 10% in gold? I don't. Why? Why? What's that going to do? Besides have 10% of my portfolio not doing anything. Not producing any income to live on. Doing nothing. I think we have to think these things through. You know, like what's in your safe? Like some washed up actor telling you, what's in their safe? Why would I care? Joe, who doesn't know anything, what's in your safe? But the commercials run and run and run and run, and the doubts creep in our minds. And is it going to be broken this time? It's not going to work this time, right? Because, and here's the 10 reasons off the news why it won't work this time, what the fear is. We're always afraid. I get it. I don't like the volatility either. But it's why we get, on average, 10% a year. Because if you didn't have any volatility, you wouldn't get that. You'd never have an opportunity to buy a great corporation 20% off. Wouldn't. But we do have to talk ourselves into it when it does, right? When we do get the opportunity. All right, we've got to take a break. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO, that is our number. Let's go ahead and run. Let's go straight to the phones. Paul, are you there?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, good.
Can you hear me, Dave?
I can. Go right ahead.
Cool. My question to you is, should I buy a car now or wait for 3 years and see what happens?
Do what for 3 years?
Should I buy a car now or wait for 3 years?
Sit out the market for 3 years? Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
No.
Understanding.
Should I buy a car now or should I wait for 3 years?
Oh, or wait 3 years. Oh, boy. Yeah, I got you. Pardon me. I'm sorry. We just have a tough connection here. No. First of all, if you need to, you need to, right? But if you can wait, absolutely. This is a terrible time to be buying really anything because it's all expensive. It's expensive to travel. It's expensive to get a new car. It's expensive to do everything. And it feels like the supply chain issues should be handled over the next few months, actually, and we'll get back to having a more normal environment for everything. So if you can wait, especially for a truck, they're so popular and, you know, the prices are crazy high, I would wait.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day. Thanks for the call. Let's go ahead and go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, on the gold thing, first off, I do believe it's manipulation. They keep playing with the cost. back and forth and who's got it and whatnot. So,
well, it's a pretty big market to, I mean, I realize that back in the days, silver, the Hunt brothers, remember that back then, and we had, what, $50 silver for a minute.
Yep, got me a
nice
Colt.
They were able to corner it.
Got me a nice Colt single action for a roll of dimes back then. It was pretty fun. Then again, you look at, I heard a stat on Glenn Beck the other day that BlackRock controls, what, $10 trillion plus or minus of the U.S., you know, or half of the GDP of the country.
Yeah, so it's BlackRock and the top, you know, what is it, Vanguard, BlackRock, I saw that statistic too, that they have as much money as a year's GDP of the U.S. under management. So Vanguard and BlackRock and who else was it? I can't think.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
But those three combined. But you're right. No, they have a lot of money. They absolutely do. But it's really my money that's sitting at BlackRock or Fidelity or whoever in an ETF and so on. It's not – they do have those ETFs, exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, things like that. They are operating them, yes. But it is a function of the people buying them, not BlackRock.
Yeah, but you,
does that make
do you
sense?
Believe right. Do you believe that they are altruistic in their actions, or they're just shuffling the pea under the shell?
Oh, I don't think they're shuffling the pea under the shell. I think that no. First of all these guys are being weird and woke, okay? And instead of just managing money, they're telling businesses how to operate with their votes, right?
Well, they're telling states how to operate. Also, that's
correct, right, and absolutely, and that's really wrong. They're supposed to just be operating, not lecturing to us about climate change or what have you, encouraging board members to join Exxon that don't want to put a hole in the ground and make energy. It's weird, but that again, I'm back to the whole process of in my mind, we're reaching a peak of stupidity. And so I think we're hitting a tipping point on these things. People are really calling out the BlackRocks of the world. And they are. For like, why don't you just manage money and shut up? Don't tell us how to be. Don't try to operate the climate from your voting. It's ridiculous. And it's my money, not yours. So I think it's really hurting them business-wise. But, yeah, I mean, they're business people. But they're not being deceptive in anything that they're doing. It's not – like they're manipulating the gold market. They're not manipulating the gold market any more than any other company is when you are simply offer an ETF that buys gold. That's my action of buying or redeeming the ETF is what sets the price of the ETF, not BlackRock or anybody else that manufactures GLD.
Well, I'll beg to differ on that because once you get so much accumulation of power and resources, you have Lord Atkins, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So,
no, without a doubt, that's right. I don't disagree with that, Terry, but I really don't see any sign of manipulation in the gold markets at all. The only markets that are weird to me really is the whole crypto thing with what happened this past week of one of the currencies going to zero, whatever it is. And I don't know what cryptocurrency is for anyway. So those markets fly around. Things are moving 10% in a day, but I just don't see any manipulation in the gold market or silver market or zinc. We did see it a lot, no doubt, in nickel. No doubt. About 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was a Chinese nickel company, should have gone bankrupt because they were on the wrong side of a trade, and so the market was crazy,
and got propped up by the Chinese government, as I understand it.
Yeah, well, the exchange blew it. There was a London exchange. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. And it really seems crazy that they did, but, you know, they did. Everybody's trades invalid that day.
Yeah, there's so many spider webs tied together here that it just begins to. I lose my faith in the system.
Well, I would suggest that the system of the market system is full of human beings as well, and so we get once in a while you get a company that screws up their financials, lies or whatever. You see people in small companies that are, basically stealing money from investors. I get that. But overall, this market is a fantastic mechanism for weeding that out and allowing capital to be formed and grow. So it's a fantastic market. But anyway, I find it interesting that the gold isn't working in a time that I would have thought was their heyday.
Yeah, I gave up on that. There used to be a correlation, gold up, market down, gold up. Okay, you could pretty much bet on, and now it stopped working. So,
yeah, it has. It just doesn't feel like it's a reasonable hedge at all when you have everything in a perfect environment for gold, and it's actually down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, Professor,
it doesn't produce anything, so it's a big bet. You have a good day.
Same to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Our final break upcoming. We'll be right back. Hello. Welcome. Hey, if you have any comments or questions during the week, shoot those over to petsofinancial.com. We also have articles, calculators, podcasts of all kinds of things. And, we put them out there to try to get people some education, some information, and also feel free to ask a question. If you have any questions, we try to get back with you, of course. All right. And if you have suggestions for the program, love to hear from you. In this period we're going through where markets are really tumultuous and it's just no fun. And especially for those people recently retired, nearing retirement, this is your first rodeo, it's hard. This is your first down with your mountain of money that needs to have a cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life, no matter how long that is. It's frightening. I get it. It's frightening. And just saying it's perfectly normal that markets do this, is in a way, it just seems like it's kind of trite, right? It's just like, yeah, fine, whatever. It's very frightening. It's a real deal problem. And when you're looking at it also through the lens of all of the bad news, Putin, high energy prices, high food prices, big time inflation, China's shut down, so the supply chain may be broken longer than we expected. Really a dearth of leadership. And I mean, again, it's not a political statement to say that Joe is the wrong guy. Democrats feel that way. So it's a tough time to feel like it's going to get better, but markets do. And it's important that we really kind of put it in the context of what happened basically on Friday. There's no reason for the market to go up, but it does. It did. Quite a bit, actually. Does that mean it's going to go up on Monday? No, it doesn't. It was another bad week on Wall Street. After a really good year last year, we're having a bad year. It's the way markets work. They really do. And trying to game it, that's why we always talk about it. $10,000 invested in the Dow 40 years ago is $1.3 million. Crazy. With reinvested dividends. It's just crazy numbers. But we worry about the short term because it's right in our face. Right in our face. I don't blame you. It's frightening. And it really isn't whistling past the graveyard, or however you want to phrase it, to say focusing on a steady stream of income that outpaces inflation is the key component of an income portfolio. And those dividends keep coming in. And talking about some of these basic things is helpful for all of us. I mean, do I like it when I open up my statement? No. But it really doesn't matter. That's the truth. Because I'm not selling today. I'm not dead. And I want the income. So if Pfizer goes down, or Johnson & Johnson's price goes down, does that change its dividend? No. So what I want to focus on are companies that raise their dividends year after year because they're making more and more money, because they're operating efficiently, and they're returning capital to their investors. Some companies, as I pointed out earlier, have done this for 100 years, increased their income. For 100 years. Others for, you know, only 60 or 70 years. And nowadays, we even have exchange-traded funds. You can buy anytime for basically pennies that filter through and buy dividend-increasing stocks or stocks that pay high dividends. You slice it and dice it any way you want. It's stunning how easy this really is. But we always focus on the dollar amount. Like, my investment of $10,000 is only worth $9,000. Huh? What is the income coming in? Yeah. Is it paid every quarter? Yeah. Okay. We're fine. That's what we want. And that's always the key cornerstone. So when we talk about all this, we go back to this, $10,000 grew to $1.3 million. Yeah, well, whatever. Right now it's a disaster. The reason we keep talking about it is to have that long-term perspective. Because the only way you get the market returns is to be in the market. And you can't pop in and out. My favorite analogy is since the iPhone came out like 16 years ago, Apple's up more than 40-fold. But not for the people that traded Apple, because they got in and out. They're not in it. The people that own it are the ones that got 40-fold. People that own stocks own an increasing income all the days of their life. That's amazing. It works. And we just don't want to overreact to these times. And you know what? I'm talking to myself too. Truly. We all need the encouragement to get through when we have bad leaders making bad decisions time and time again. How can we believe that this is going to be any different? You don't have to. Markets work. And that's what I have to remind myself as well. They do. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate you tuning in.